Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
How are we doing?
Welcome to Sundays at the Station.
I'm your host, host one.
And I'm tired, and that's the introductory phase of this podcast. Hi, Justin, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. This coffee's decent.
I haven't tried a sip yet. It's really hot.
You're going to have to let me know how you like it when you try it.
Yeah, we'll do.
Oh, this is off to a really interesting start. Hi, guys.
second high.
Okay. Today, I had an idea for a podcast conversation idea. And I want to talk about, like, ways of living, how people view life, the way different people live, the benefits to certain types of viewing, I guess, not even ways of living. Because we're all kind of boxed, I think, into a similar way of life. But, like, ways of viewing the world. Mm-hmm. Viewing the life that we live.
Well, because how you perceive the world is a big freedom that all of us have.
Yeah. It's the only thing we really have freedom for. You can't sometimes decide, like, if you're going to be rich or poor, if you're going to be living in a certain area. You can't always have those decision factors. But what you can do is decide how to look at it. And, obviously, there's extremes. But for most people, like, you have a lot of control over that. And, like, I think... That's a big differentiating factor between happiness and not happiness.
Yeah.
Take it in, boy. You want to start with anything? Or want me to start?
Why don't you start? You got a lot of thoughts on a couple of books, I think.
Yeah. We can go there. So a few years ago, I was trying to get into like some sort of philosophy. I grew up very religious.
Yeah.
Left that behind. And I felt like my dad always said there should be like a moral yardstick. Everyone should have something to bigger than themselves to base off of. And I think that's smart. Like,
that's
I don't
a
know
good
if
idea.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like needed, but like it's one of those things where if you have something larger than yourself to look at in life, when you're confused, you don't have just yourself. You can back up to something. That's why I think religion is good. But I'm not really religious. So I get into Taoism, which I think is a really interesting concept. You've read, not that I have any visual aids, Tao of Pu. It's a really interesting book that takes Winnie the Pooh famously has some of the most like basic people types out there.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbit, owl, Eeyore, Pooh, Piglet. And so I think that it's a really easy way to get into some of the philosophical conversations of ways of viewing life, because they all view life very differently.
And
so I love
ways
that
of
book.
Existing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But yeah, I guess that book's a decent place to start. Do you have any, like we've never talked about how you really thought about the book. You finished it, but we never really talked about it too much, which might be a good thing for this.
Yeah. I read that book coffee book style or coffee table style, where I would just pick it up and, you know, read a little bit. And the book's easy cause it's a short book, big words, and it's Winnie the Pooh based.
Small words, big text. Like that.
Yes. And yeah, I liked it a lot. I like how it kind of brought those characters together to show certain principles of Taoism. And I think I learned a lot. I'm starting to really believe that like I have to highlight and write in books in order for me to fully grasp what I'm reading.
Interesting.
And I can't do that with like
I guess that
your
gives,
books.
Gives you the like tactile.
It makes
piece.
Me think about it more.
Yeah, you're actively going back and saying, I like this line, so you remember the line maybe.
Yeah.
I'm rereading this and I'm finding myself wanting to highlight. I don't have a highlighter. Do you have a highlighter?
I do.
Should I use it sometime?
Yeah.
Lit.
Sick.
Sick, bro.
Collaborating on highlighters.
Something I liked about the book a lot too is that the way it's written, because I already knew a lot of the stuff he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's why I like what stuck out to me though is the way it's written. It's an author pretty much talking to Pooh and Piglet. And then also weaving in actual stories from the books and weaving in his own metaphors and conversation about Taoism, but it's chiefly through a conversation with those characters. So it's kind of interesting. And just for a second, if you don't know what Taoism is, oh, curious listener, Taoism is kind of the study of life as an essence and how to exist within it as opposed to trying to control it. It's very much about concepts of simplicity and like understanding that there's not much to understand in life. It can be evenly viewed as like simplistic in a negative way, which I think is wrong. It can also be viewed as like a lot of modern people kind of study it as a philosophy. It's very boxed out, and I don't like that either. But truly, the way to do it is just to live in the world and to try to kind of live and let live, concepts of peace, simple happiness, control what you can control, and live the best way for yourself. That's how I'd kind of describe it.
Yeah, it's just going with the flow in the simplest sense.
There's so much more to it than that, but yes, those are the, like, than what we're saying. But that is the basic digestible moment.
Yeah, it's the idea of not letting knowledge and and all those, you know, pursuance get the hold of you.
Yes, with concepts of Taoism aside, I don't want to influence your answer to this based on that.
Yeah.
Because there are many ways to live correctly. If you were to summarize how you your view of life, how would you summarize it?
Oh, God. This is something I've started to think more about.
Real small question, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird because I know that you're a huge supporter of Taoism, and I've read The Tao of Pooh, which is yours. But I feel like on the default mode, my brain, it just does that. I just go through the days like kind of, like I have certain habits and I have certain responsibilities and I'll do all of them. But generally, I take each moment as it will. And I realize that like a lot of things are impermanent. So I shouldn't worry about a lot of things because things are fleeting. That's how life works. That's generally how I view things.
I think that's the main thing that we agree on in life too. Because we have a lot of differences in the way we view things, the way we act and shit. But I do think the main common point is, even if it comes out differently, we both have that same kind of viewpoint of do what you can, kind of let the world happen around you as it happens, and I mean, because realistically, if the only ways to think about this are you can either just focus on yourself and do the best things you can, or you can try to change everything, which might work, but is a lot more difficult.
And you can't do it alone.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a specific, or you got to be like a incredibly unique person like Martin Luther King or something like that. Then you can start up, you can shut that shit up on your own and you can just talk and eventually you'll get it. It takes a lot of work, but so you can, but it's hard. Like we ain't all MLK. So I think that's part of, I think that's definitely part of it. But I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about how different people view the world, like the different types of viewing. Because I've always kind of, it's easy to view your understanding of things as correct, but I've been recently thinking about the benefits of other types of people, and like how it's smart to continually try to integrate some of those other ways of thinking, to kind of challenge yourself. A lot of like adults don't challenge themselves. Do you know? Yeah, do you realize this about adults? Like a lot of adults just like, shit, like this is the way I view things, and like that's fine.
There's just a groove. It's a lot easier to not, because you create your opinions kind of in your 20s, and then when you find them and you feel comfortable about them, why would you revisit them? Especially if you have a bunch of life events that are happening.
Yeah. Hey, it works. You know that
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
That's interesting.
Just it ain't broke.
Mm. What do you think is the most like dangerous aspect of, and then let's do both so we're not just being negative Nancy's.
Okay.
What do you think the most like negative and positive aspects of old generations have that we don't necessarily agree with? Things that aren't inherent in us that you see in older people. Like what do you think is the best thing that, oh, I think our generation could use more of this and I'm glad this is going away, like that kind of thing.
I think the work ethic and the ability to stick to a task is higher with them. That'd be a positive. I mean,
instant gratification type stuff with us.
Yeah, we have a lot shorter attention spans and we rely on instant gratification a lot more. But something negative.
Fuck those old people.
Do you have anything to say? And then I can come
I think you're negative. I mean, I would say the same exact thing for the positive.
Yeah.
Because I do think that that's inherent just due to our way of life. I mean, it's been fast. We're living in the information age. We're living in the, I guess, I don't know if we're still in the information age technically, but we're living in this age of quick response, fast Google searches.
Yeah.
And those kind of things have, I think, given us some benefits. But the big thing that we have to kind of work on is that exact concept of slowing the fuck down. And like,
yes,
like something I was taught that I think is really good is like, you don't need to start with the best thing. And that's, it's a small thing. There's still a lot of other shit, but like, I think this is really important. Like, you don't need to start with the best thing.
Yes.
You can start with the $100 camera and then work your way up. You can start with the shitty sneakers and work your way up. But if you decide you need something better, you can get there. But once you get to a spot, you're never going to stop down. So if you start buying $400 clothes, that is what you'll buy forever.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not what you need, and you just haven't thought about it yet. Yes. So it's smarter to start small. And you also feel more gratification. Because you're like, shit, I worked for that. Like, look how far I've come in the last year. Yeah. That kind of thing, it makes it feel more yours. Like, you've earned it as opposed to just purchased it. I think it's huge.
There's a lot of communication that goes into instant gratification as well. Like, I was thinking the other day about how, you know, as a just general way of living right now, a lot of people text people all day long. They Snapchat people all day long. Constant checking of social media. And I don't even mean constant as in like every 5 minutes, because that's probably not what the general vast majority of people do. But even like once an hour, that's a lot, you know?
Texting someone once an hour?
Checking social media.
Oh. That's not a single event, too. You can scroll for 30 minutes
exactly. Or something like that. So like that's a time-consuming thing. But
it is bad. It's a fake world.
I'm saying that to say that like, not that there's anything like, there's definitely some benefits in social media. You can make money with social media, and that is what it is. But there is something to be said, I think, about being alone less and less. And I feel like
a lot of us aren't confident for that reason.
Like
a lot of our generation feels, I think, like they're not sure what their identity is. And that's why you're seeing so many different things pop up, everything from a lot of the gender identity stuff. Right, we're seeing a lot of people not identifying as heteronormative things. We're seeing people not fitting into groups. We're watching some of the things that, like, at least in our high school and more everywhere, there's so much less of those, like, cliques and groups. Part of it's because you're online. So it's like, you don't need to do that, because if you need a little group, you can find one online pretty easily. You don't have to do that in school.
Right.
But I think, secondly, as part of it's that we don't have an identity as much. Like, it's not the stoners and the jocks and the smart kids, it's all blending. Because I think our generation has less of a identity, and it works into everything. We have less nationalism than other generations. We have less unification in this country right now than ever before. It's a very fractured thing, which can be negative, but I think the positive, if we choose to take it in this path, is we have this ability to have more individualism than ever before.
I think that a lot of people and like the cliques, like you were saying, have like blended together. It's become more diverse. At the same time, though, my first high school,
Big Webster,
it was like two or three times as many kids as our high school.
Big city kid.
But the cliques were there.
Yeah.
It was cliques.
Really? A lot?
360 students in my class.
It's crazy. What clique were you in?
It was like gaming Snap and gang shit.
Clique.
It's gaming and movies.
Gaming and movies was a clique? Man. Holy shit. You guys had some big subgenres.
Well, so
who are the psychedelic rock kids? specifically.
Straight up.
No.
It's my friends.
No, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's how it went. That's kind of fun. Did you have to apply? Was it like club day?
No, man. No, but it was interesting because myself, like with myself, I like exploring a lot of different things. I've always been like that in my life.
Yes.
I played every sport besides football, I think, as a kid. Boom. I just tried everything. I didn't want to stick to one sport for many seasons because, like, oh, soccer looks cool too.
We're talking fencing, kids.
I did fencing for a summer.
See, everything, which is cool, man.
Yeah, I was happy with it. Like,
dude.
I had a good time exploring a lot of different sports, particularly. But then I also did other activities. I got really into music. And movies and like I said, sports. But it's like that though. You get stuck in one thing, and being in a school like that with all the cliques, it's hard to.
It can be draining because once you're in
it's hard
it,
to try. Uh-huh. Myself, I was trying to attach to other like friend groups because I had an interest in what they were doing.
You wanted to be with the K-pop kids, didn't you?
I mean, no, but. It's very interesting going from my old school to your school because
one big kumbaya.
Yeah, and
comparatively, it wasn't, but comparatively,
and there were, you know, less boundaries.
Yes.
In Wayne,
Still
but,
groups.
But there were still groups because everybody has interests and everybody...
Everyone has friend groups. Yes. So there was still friend groups.
Of course.
Groups. Yes.
But everybody was a lot more together.
Well, a lot of it's because... The reason is because my school came from two schools. Both of those schools had 100 kids or less in the grade. So there was maybe 4 to 5 classrooms for each of those schools. And so you grew up with the same... Everyone... You knew... I knew all the kids in my kind of grade growing up because there was 90 of us.
Mm-hmm.
You have over half of those kids at least in class once.
Yeah.
So you know almost everybody. Then we combined schools and that was weird for a year. For a year it was Free Will Wayne kids. Like it was different things.
Yes.
And, but then they forced everyone into mixed classes very hard. Mm-hmm. And then you made some of those friends. And so everybody I've known for I knew for 6 years and half of those kids was for 12 years. And so... You get to a point where it's like, I've known you my whole life. It's fine. There's and your school's different. Where you graduate, if you were to graduate from Webster, you probably still wouldn't know everybody in your grade, which blows my mind.
Well, I knew everybody's face. And like, if I stayed there, I think I would get to know everybody's name.
Parties and shit.
Yeah, even. I missed 2 years at the end there.
Right.
But Webster had 7 elementary schools and 2 middle schools.
That's insane.
So... I can't remember what the cutoff was, but like that maybe like I think there's one school where half of the students go to one middle school and the other go to Webster, or it's like 3 schools go to Spry and then 4 schools go to Willink. But because we had a lot of schools, I think that also could have helped.
Yeah. In a way.
Because everybody knew.
Make
it's
your
not
pockets.
Just like boom, boom.
That's fair.
Getting
back on topic.
Yeah. Poo.
Sure. What? And do you have any questions? If not, I'll keep barreling through.
Oh, I think I had a negative for your.
Oh yeah.
Previous
feel free,
question.
Man, bring it back.
So a negative to, what is it? Gen X.
Who are you talking about?
Our parents.
Yours are Gen X, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine are boomers.
That's true.
Barely. They're bored or like I'm bored. Like they're just like me. Where like my dad, my grandpa, my dad, and me are all on the border of 2 different generations.
You're almost a millennial.
I am. I mean, they around. It's we're all on the border ish.
Yes.
I'd say people a year maybe 2000 and up are hard Gen Z.
Yes.
Late 90s is mixed. It depends on who you ask and shit. But
also people
even
assume,
as culturally too. Yeah. I know that I culturally was raised on a border. My dad was culturally raised on a border. And my grandpa was also culturally raised on a border, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. I was definitely raised more as I was definitely raised more like millennial than Gen Z, I feel. It wasn't like do you have a new iPhone at 5 years
there
old?
There are outlook
you know?
Things that are different, though, between us and millennials.
Yes.
Young millennials, not really.
Like my sister.
But I'm saying people older than us. There are huge differences in the way 25, 26-year-olds versus us view the world. Even just because stuff like dating changed so much.
Yeah.
And, like, there are so many things that changed so much around the end, like, around the time we were growing up that we do have very different outlooks than, like, my older sister, who's 29.
Yes.
But you're negative. Go.
I think it would be the kind of boxed in outlook. Like these are the way things are to a certain degree.
There's a certain way things should be.
Yeah.
For everybody, not for me, for the good of our country.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Interesting.
Also,
we see some of that now.
A lot more nationalistic, I feel.
Fucking A, right, brother?
A lot of people in the past, like, 20 years.
We got to do a
like,
edit here.
Just like, hey, the
American flag, transparent, with eagle claw, and music.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. You're going to have to do it visually.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good at
don't you love
After
America
these days.
With our apple pie and our
KFC,
baseball, and jeans, Elvis,
and
Jell-O,
and George Washington.
Actually, that's more of a Briton. He was more... Weirdly,
he fought Britain twice.
Yeah, but like, who's his daddy?
Who's your daddy?
George Washington. America.
John came over on the Mayflower.
I did. I've been around for hundreds of years. Me personally, on the Mayflower. Okay. So, Pooh.
Yes.
Which character interests you the most? And then we'll bring it into something more interesting, I promise. We're going to move from there into real people, but...
I like Piglet, and I also like Owl.
Por qué, mi amigo?
So Owl is the character, as John was saying earlier, that embodies a certain way of being. He is the one that embodies wisdom, or knowledge, really.
Mm, yeah, knowledge.
Knowledge, because he... It's the idea that, like, oh, you know facts and things and whatever. Okay, so what? And that's kind of the author's, like, relationship with Owl is, yeah, it doesn't...
He hates him.
Yeah, academia. Too much,
almost. There's a benefit to academia. Not for everybody. It doesn't work for everybody.
Depends on what you do.
I can't say the word academia without thinking of macadamia nut cookies. That's I cannot say it. Every time I say academia, I'm always like,
perfect
macadamia.
Sense. My brain doesn't do that.
Yeah, every single time since I was like young. Sorry.
You're good.
Owl, interesting. Piglet's opposite end of the spectrum. Piglet is, I don't know.
Piglet's weird. He just floats through.
Pooh is simplicity with comfort in it. And I feel like Piglet's the other side of that coin.
He's anxiety.
Where it's simplicity with discomfort in it. And it leads to things like anxiety.
Yeah.
Where Pooh doesn't care enough to be anxious. Which is interesting.
Yeah. And there's another book, The Tay of Piglet, and I'm not sure what Tay represents.
Yeah.
Do you know what Tay is about?
I don't feel comfortable going into it too hard because I have not. It is a similar concept.
Yes.
It is within Taoism, but I am not super versed on it. So I will say no. But okay. I want to read it and we should get it.
Yeah, definitely.
These books are great, by the way. This author does something amazing. Where it's a book that you can read at any age. Like, you could show it to a 5-year-old. And it would make sense. Literally make sense. Like, there's aspects they're not going to, like, get. 5 is probably a little young. But you could read this when you're, like, a 10-year-old. You could read this when you're 20. You could read this when you're 50. Like, it is very digestible. The only things that are hard to digest is the fact that it's talking about concepts. So, like, younger people might not grasp some of those larger concepts yet. But they will still get something out of the book.
Yes.
Even to revisit later, maybe. But... I really like the book for that reason. It's not meant for a certain group. And that's why he wrote it, so that he could teach more people about this concept. Because at that time, too, I think it was in the 80s or 90s when he wrote this book. But at that time, some of these Chinese philosophies were so, like, foreign and, like, hard to grasp. And I think he did a good job of making this one less hard to grasp.
Yeah.
It's good.
I have a friend whose mom is into Taoism. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how hard she is. Therese.
Oh, nice.
And,
what's up, Therese?
And, she said, I like posted the book on my story one day and she was like, oh, awesome book.
Yes.
She read it as like a kid more. So like to that point, like, yeah, kids can read this. And I think to a degree it's good.
Time check.
23:30.
Final ish, closing ish remarks. One more point. You want to come up with something?
I don't really have much.
Nothing? All right, that's fine. You're simple. You're in the Taoist mentality right now.
I'm waking up as well.
No. You're the uncarved block today, and that's okay.
The uncarved block.
Uncarved block's interesting. That's like the concepts of, well, some would call it ignorance, but the uncarved block is the unobstructed natural being. I think that's an interesting concept.
Letting go.
Yeah, like a lot of times we strive to really understand something and we think there's a benefit to manipulating something. And manipulating isn't a bad thing, but to changing things to suit our needs. That's how humans evolved. That's how we survive. So to us, that's very important. This concept is leaving things the way they are. Uncarved block, the Taoist word for that, literally means tree in a thicket or a similar, like an untouched thing. Unchanged thing. And so it's the concept of letting everything be as it is, including yourself, and not change yourself based on what you think you should be doing. Societal pressures, physical pressures, whatever. Being the you that you naturally are.
Yes.
And so you can try your whole life to change your body type or something, but what's the faster way to fix this problem is to become happy with the way you look, right? You can spend your whole life trying to get rid of these traits that you think are horrible. And sometimes that might be the right move, but generally, what's a better way to do it? Accept yourself for who you naturally are and maximize those benefits in a way that suits you, but don't stress trying to do it because that means you're doing the wrong thing.
I think it makes sense to want to change a certain thing. And using like working out and fitness as an example, like I think a good step would be to be happy with yourself first. And or and at the very least, you know, because that can be a struggle for a lot of people. At the very least, understand truly why you want to get more fit mm-hmm. and why you want to slim down or bulk up, like whatever it is, you know. So, yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Well, with this, dear listener, I think we're going to close off another episode of Sundays at the Station with me, Tired.
And me, Host One.
We will be back as usual next week on Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, always on Sunday every week.
Yep.
Yeah, we got a couple. This is 2 weeks from now. We're going to be posting this one.
Yes.
Crazy.
So, spoiler alert, we are pre-recording these.
Oh my God. If we don't move, they might forget that we said that. Fuck, they still see us. Fuck. Shit.
Damn it.
Fuck. Okay, well.
All right, we're going to get out of here.
Lots of love. Ooh, woo. We'll see you guys next time on Sundays at the Station.
Matter of fact, you get out of here.
You know what?
Get out of here.
Get out. We're going to keep talking. So anyways, I was at the pool hall.
And the cat's in the cradle and the sewer.